The Great Canadian Talk Show.
It was only a couple of watts, but I brought the truth to everyone within three blocks of the west side of campus.
No way! Yes way!
And now, let's get right down to business with Marty Gold.
Welcome to the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast. This is episode 8 of season 4, our 8th episode of 2024. I'm your host, Marty Gold. Thank you for continuing to tune in. Thank you for continuing to follow our podcasts, our reports on actionline.ca. The podcast, of course, available on Apple, Spotify, and other fine podcast platforms. For those of you that are new subscribers, I'm going to suggest to you that you drop me a line and send me your email so I can add you to our email list. I want to expand that, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that are subscribing that would probably be willing to stay in the loop a little more often than just when the podcasts come out, in terms of some of the Action Line articles that get posted and are going to be posted and have been posted. So if you want to send me a, drop me a line, and of course, story tips, comments, of which we have one from a city councilor actually coming up about previous episodes of the podcast, Interact donations as well as we head into fundraising season. MartyGoldLive@gmail.com. And let's just continue to try to keep things growing accordingly. Great growth lately as a result of a real good streak. And I said this before and I'll say it again. I would size up the first 7 episodes this year of the Great Canadian Talk Show podcast against any radio put out in Winnipeg by any entity. That would mean radio station. We've got information and insight and analysis that you are not being... You know, the best way to demonstrate how there's information out there that major media outlets will just ignore if it doesn't suit their purposes. I have looked at the CBC National website just now and the CBC Winnipeg, CBC Manitoba, they call it website. Can you believe that there's no stories, essentially, that talk about the federal court spanking Justin Trudeau for invoking the Emergencies Act without proper legal basis? CBC Manitoba doesn't have a single story about that. So there's all sorts of stories that the media tries to control your knowledge of, what information you do or don't get. I'm here to counteract that. And even at the local level, you know, there's times where you'll find that the media acts as stenographers and doesn't ask hard questions about various city spending and other projects. We're going to talk about City Hall in the second part, in part two of this episode. But let me quickly, listener feedback. With regards to the episode from January 18th, the disabled tenant who managed to escape from arson, just to update folks, we did put her in touch with a landlord, has a couple of apartments. Whether it's going to fit her budget or any of the rest of it, don't know, don't care right now. So we did open the door for that, and I'll provide a link to that podcast. And in that episode, which I know you'll enjoy if you haven't listened to it already, is a link to the GoFundMe that that her daughter set up, that Tamara Bard's daughter set up, to try to help her mom, who's a disabled from a workplace accident of like 12 years ago. So if you can help her out, please go back to the episode, find that link, do what you can. I'll continue to let you know how she's coming along after surviving that, surviving her house getting torched, the house she lived in getting torched. I have not heard from the landlord yet. And when I do, I will let you folks know and I will give them every opportunity to give their explanation of what's going on with the revolving door of tenants that were terrorizing people evidently on College Avenue over the course of a year. Feedback with regards to our report, and the only outlet in Winnipeg that has reported that the code of conduct investigation of Councillor Orlico has been suspended by Jamie Patel, the substitute special investigator, integrity commissioner. That investigation suspended. We're the only. The only way you would have found out is from us. The Winnipeg media doesn't want to touch that story. I don't know why. We heard from Councillor Edie Ross Eady, who's been on this program before and will be again soon, and actually should have over the course of the new year, and that didn't fall together, taking me to task because there's a promo spot we play where I talk about, it's for audio from another episode, I talk about it's business as usual at City Hall, right? Well, they're busy screwing up. He said, well, it's not business as usual because there's a new provincial legislation where a developer has a right of appeal to a council decision, and there's already been two appeals with regards to that one with the William Clement Parkway at Grant, or at the end of Grant, Roblin, and another property near something to do with the airport vicinity changes. So he's saying it's to state council article is continuing as usual is BS because the rules have changed. I get the point. I think Councillor Eady misunderstood, but he's listening, and that's the important part. And we'll be having him on talk more about the federal housing money and other such things, how it'll impact his ward, the city at large. That's the second episode that I'm referencing here in this little roundup. Third, Dr. Joss Reimer, Winnipeg Regional Health Authority head NOC. We kicked off the year with a dissection of her suggestion that those individuals who are concerned about their safety downtown and the safety of their friends and neighbors downtown, that they were being racist and it wasn't really that unsafe. That was episode one. Episode seven, she, even now as I record this, has not made any kind of statement with regards to the death of a patient in the emergency room at the St. Boniface Hospital. That would be part of her responsibilities, as I understand what the head of the WRHA is supposed to do, chief medical officer. I mean, somewhere in there has something to do with her. Instead, she talks about electric vehicles and gets that wrong. And promotes an ideology of, that we're facing decimation through climate. The biggest threat facing humanity, in Winnipeg is how these emergency rooms are being operated right now. Or not operated, I guess the case may be. One listener catching that she had made a comment in her promotion of electric vehicles because big gas-powered trucks are evil and dangerous. That's what's dangerous downtown is SUVs and trucks. By far, the biggest downside, she once tweeted, about electric vehicles, they are expensive and many people can't afford them. That said, I see a lot of very expensive trucks that never haul anything driving around the city, and they cost much more than most EVs. Well, this shows you how a smart person, because she's a doctor with a degree or two or three or something, how a smart person can sometimes be very dumb. What's the resale value of a truck after 5 years? I can hear the abacus going on in the heads of some of you a lot. What's the resale value of an electric vehicle after 5 years? More comments about that podcast and our discussion of her. That's not all, but climate change is a big part of her woke agenda. Just don't ask any questions about the unexpected deaths happening or she will block you. She has real topics to address, like her fancy electric vehicle. Another comment, she has many people blocked. That's Joss Reimer, paid for by your tax dollars. And I know that I guess he was a pastor from, her part of Manitoba. She's from we used to call it the Golden Triangle. I don't remember exactly where she's from. If it's Winkler, Morden, from that area. I just don't recall off the top of my head exactly which town she's from. And a pastor, some guy involved at high levels of the church, he tried to portray the criticism. I don't think he was talking specifically of me, but it was around the time of that episode. And it didn't just, I didn't start it. She did. I am the only outlet to report on, but a lot of people online were giving her grief and asking her hard questions for suggesting that their experiences with being punched, having to avoid people with knives, naked creeps wandering around, that, she was invalidating their experiences, which impacts on their mental health, by the way. And he said, well, these attacks on Joss Reimer, it's misogynistic. No. First of all, she earned it because she says things that are just completely out of touch, completely elitist, snobbish, and inappropriate for somebody in her position with the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority. This isn't my first dance with the WRHA. I was there when they tried to explain away how the clipboard with the note about Brian Sinclair had somehow been lost. And the most famous of the death through waiting experiences with the WRHA. I was there. And this is back in the days when they would proclaim that Brian Postal was irreplaceable. That's why he had to hang around a couple of extra years. Good old Brain Postal. That's how he signed his farewell notes when he moved on to life at the University of Manitoba, training the next generation of doctors. We see where that's getting us. Brain Postal. Brain Postal has been succeeded by Joss Reimer. You getting better bang for your buck? You notice how you can change governments from NDP to Conservative back to NDP, but there's one constant in a lot of these problems that people experience, that their families experience, and it's the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority. So when I question what she says, what she does, why she doesn't comment about the death, doesn't offer condolences to the family of that individual that died in the emergency room at the St. Boniface last Friday, but has time to tweet about how wonderful her electric vehicle is and retweet other people who say, oh, people are just scared to give up their fossil fuels. You know, this ain't high school, toots. Get with the program. And I'd say the same thing to anybody in that position. So just as soon as she improves her job, I'll let you know. Those episodes having garnered a lot of listeners, and they'll continue to do so because there's an example of, you know, like a, you know, as I describe it, she's a media darling. Well, how does that hold her accountable for anything? Yes, yes, media has favorites, I get it, but she's a $420,000 a year favorite. So holding her accountable, it's somebody's job, nobody else going to do it. I'll do it, no problem. What's coming up? Going to talk about transit? Going to talk about trees? Going to talk about the city budget? Going to talk about another bike lane consultation? You'll hear about these issues, generally speaking, from nowhere else in the media spectrum in Winnipeg. The best radio in Winnipeg is on this podcast, and I'm going to prove it right after this break.
This episode of The Great Canadian Talk Show is sponsored by PKP Renovations and Repairs. We take pride in the neighborhoods we work in, serving the North End, West Kildonan, and the Maples Garden City area for over 20 years. Call 204-297-5446 or email us at info@pkprenovations.com. We help make sure Winnipeg has good homes for good people.
Is your business plagued by thefts and break-ins? Is your residential property under siege by out-of-control crime and vandalism? You need effective safety measures to protect your property. Jamrock Security can help you today. We have the expertise to deliver the right solutions and get your security problems under control. Call 204-880-1564 or contact our website, jamrocksecurity.ca. Do security. Do it smart. Jamrock Security.
I don't think this is a gold star award that Winnipeg should be proud of when you're featured in the Federal Conservatives' What Went Wrong in Canada scenarios, and Winnipeg's at the top of the class. So it's not something of a badge of honor, I think, for the current leadership at City Hall to wear.
I don't think I've covered City Hall. Maybe I'll take a look at the episode list, eh? Let's take a look. I don't think I've done a City Hall episode so far this year. Well, the Councilor Orlico gets reprieve, but in terms of looking at what's going on at City Hall, haven't done one. And late enough in January, it's time to do something. And although it is a slow season, it's on the surface, it can be hard to find stuff because the City Hall is kind of in a bit of a half lockdown mode in terms of city budget preparations and things like that. There's still stuff going on. And especially as I started to piece this together, I realized there's certain themes that tie in with our coverage from 2023. And there's no better way for me to ensure that you listeners will spread the word, that you'll share these podcasts with your neighbors, that you'll share them with the people that you work with. You'll share them with the people that share your concerns about what's going on in our city, about public safety, about taxation, about the efficiency of city services, about honest dealings at City Hall. Best way to make sure that you'll do that, and to make sure that you'll support this work so that there is a voice and a platform, so you don't get drowned out. And so nobody can say, oh, nobody ever told us, because I'll keep telling them for you, believe you me. But generally speaking, there's not much, when you look through the headlines, not a lot at City Hall. There's a lot of crime stuff going on, and I'm not doing a crime report until the weekend. I know there's murder trials, all sorts of things going on. None of which, you know, I can't say that I've seen City Hall react to anything much so far this month in terms of crime and violence, and maybe they should have. Finally, the location of the former public safety building, the Market Lands, getting some prep work started. We'll see what happens to Winnipeg City Hall if, in fact, this comes around the way it is projected, where there's going to be 100 units of mixed income housing and some arts organizations, because that'll draw people, but that will also draw people in and around the City Hall courtyard. You heard it here first. Keep that in mind. Other things circulating with regards to City Hall. Well, it's just late today as I record this, that there's a controversy about which way City Hall should swing in giving direction to transit signage. And I guess it's come to light that when you have a bus running and it doesn't have the route number on the front, but instead has some other alternate messaging, the people don't know what bus it is that's coming around. They won't. Do they even have the route numbers in the front anymore? So people were missing their buses because they couldn't tell that it was their bus because it was, had a message going past, you know, of whatever, to go Bombers go or something. So now the suggestion is there should be no happy chat signage on buses. The buses should stick to the business of serving the passengers. Bravo. How much transit signage, you know, does it cost anything? Somebody comes up with it, they send the signal. That's very low cost inefficiency. I understand the intent. This came about when councillors said, well, can we add happy this and celebrate that, and to the ones that were sort of standard, winning sports teams, perhaps Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, and maybe one other, Happy Easter, who knows? So because councillors want to hop on the bandwagon, now there's no bandwagon. Doesn't really save us any money. If there was that kind of messaging inside buses, I'd be all for it, because that would reinforce the sense of community. But you want the customers to get what they're paying for, and they're paying to find out which bus is coming towards them so they know if they have to hop on. What can City Council afford and not afford? One of the things that they are being urged not to deem affordable is a living wage, a motion coming forward to lead to a wage increase for 632 employees to meet a living wage deemed $19.21 an hour. This motion would also require contractors and suppliers to pay staff a new minimum wage, this $19.21 an hour proposal. Kelly Ryback, emailing counselors, explained to them that, as he put it, as admirable and altruistic as it appears and intends, it is simply not feasible nor responsible and raises many questions and concerns. Kelly Ryback, doing the job of, in the old days, would have been, you know, Nick Turnett and David Saunders and others, of talking reality to counselors who live in a fantasy world. His first question, where would the funds come from to cover the additional costs? Is council prepared to approve a wage freeze for elected officials and senior management? Uh-oh, rubber meets the road. Can the city enforce the requirements? Quoted and contracted costs the city would increase for owners to cover this additional cost imposed on them. Where are these funds coming from? Would employees now earning $19.21 an hour and above start demanding a higher wage because jobs with less responsibility and less value will be compensated equally? It's a slippery slope. You're damn right it is. And as he points out, this is because of a misunderstanding of the nature of minimum wage. Employees earning less than living wage are seasonal employees and students, high school students, university students. Students living at home don't require a living wage. They're living at home. So they would get an increase just for the sake of being included in a group and not because of any actual so-called need. Many of the jobs earning less than living wage, wrote Kelly, are low-skilled with limited responsibility. The city charter does not mandate that the city is to be the highest wage payer, nor a work charity, nor a make-work project. Though public perception looks at the city in that light sometimes. Brilliant correspondence he sent to about a dozen counselors. Now, this, I guess, pivots off of 301 operators. They have to raise the pay to be able to get people to do the job, which I understand, by the way. But Kelly points out maybe it needs to be reclassified, 301 position. And when he was a call center manager, and he gives the example, customer service representative, and this is 5 years ago, they were making 16 to 18 per hour. They ordered and activated services, addressed service and billing issues, provided customer technical support, escalated issues to operations department, negotiated settlements, provided support to management project teams. These positions hold more responsibility than a 311 operator. You see that? You get what you pay for. That's what you're supposed to do. Get what you pay for. Answer phones and send people in a direction. Is that the same? Is handling service issues, billing issues, technical support, negotiating settlements on contract? No. So he makes a good point. I encourage you to oppose this motion on a related item. Please address employee performance and productivity so taxpayers and businesses receive more value for the wages they provide through taxation, licensing, and service fees. Kelly Ryback, speaking for pretty much every man in Winnipeg in that regard. Now, I mentioned the transit signage. Kelly's also at City Hall. He's made this point, and I don't think anybody's understanding how important it is. The changes to the transit master plan and these upcoming proposed changes, which would all take place on a single day in June in 2025, I think it is. Can you imagine changing everything before school's out? And you're going to change all the routes, all the connections, all the connecting times. You're going to convince senior citizens they got to stand outside instead of taking one bus that goes from, say, Garden City Mall and brings them downtown. They got to go and transfer on Salter or transfer on Main or something and only be standing outside for 15 minutes. This requires a lot more consultation with the communities. And the change to the Transit Master Plan was apparently pumped through in like 3 weeks. So this affects everybody in the what we call the mature neighborhoods. It changes routing. It doesn't take into consideration a lot of factors that betray the community. And so I sent an email to my local counselor, where the office has been located for over a dozen years. Matt Allard. Hi, Matt. Sorry. Hello, Matt, I wrote on January 16th. There's a lot of confusion about how the future looks for transit riders in the area of the hospital, meaning the St. Boniface Hospital. This can also have an impact on public safety. Do you have any further information about what will happen to the 10 route? The 10 goes on and off of Taché, comes through the neighborhoods. I'm wondering if you're planning to meet with the community about the plan. Janice Luke said the council members are going to need to do consultations because the public service has scheduled a limited number of public sessions. No answer yet. He won't talk about transit. What does he talk about? Trees. Oh, trees. Why is Matt Allard talking about trees? He's bringing forward a motion that he wants cottonwood groves in his St. Boniface ward, is according to his Free Press, which comes close to acting as a stenographer for Matt Allard. I don't remember the last time the Free Press actually put him on the spot for any of his failures as public works chair or for the failures of his representation here in the St. Boniface ward. He still has not spoken about the secret plan to eliminate 99 parking spots on Marion and related neighborhoods in furtherance of his catering to the bike lobby. Did I ever mention how the bike lobby tried to, they they banned me. They blocked me on Twitter and then reversed the block the next day over the holidays. I'll have to get into that, sir. It's pretty funny. Another bunch that can't take the heat. Anyways, Matt Allard doesn't have much to say about important issues. Public safety that we've talked about here. Nurses coming to and from the St. Boniface Hospital. Doesn't want to talk about changes to the bus route that will also affect safety around the hospital. But he's brought forward a motion to protect some cottonwood groves. And his idea is that this would be a historic designation like buildings. So you have a building that's, you know, architecturally significant and this and that. And now there's restrictions on being able to sell it, renovate it, this or that. He wants to do this with trees. Boy, it takes a lot of deep thinking to come up with this, eh? Allard said indigenous people are believed to have used the trees long ago to find shade on hot summer days. Well, I'd expect, a comment like that to be important to maybe a grade 7 rep at, the school council meeting. Ken Allen was dragged out of the catacombs of City Hall. I haven't seen his name in ages. As a spokesman for Public Works, said the city is not aware of trees being declared a historical resource under municipal legislation at this point, but these are already in a park. So the park bylaw offers some protection. So here's Matt Allard asking, bringing forward a motion, wasting people's time, asking staff to do something that isn't necessary, where there's already protections, to get a cheap headline in the Winnipeg Free Press. That's how it works. Meanwhile, the story notes City Council set a long-term target to add 1,000 acres of locally accessible green space. I'd be interested in what progress there has or has not been made. Mayor Gillingham, according to the newspaper, he tried to twist this. Well, he's supporting our green agenda, but he would like city experts, as they put it, to determine if this option is feasible, but he's waiting to hear about it. So he's happy with your money being spent, having clerks and city staff run around looking at something that's completely stupid. Completely stupid. Now, Matt Allard doesn't want to talk about things that are important in St. Boniface, although Councillor Mays did on this program at the end of December. And Mays has heard more about traffic congestion on Goulet and Marion that affects residents of his ward coming down from St. Vital, affects the residents of Transcona. Russ White's been on this program and spoken about it. I'm still waiting to hear from Councillor Schreier, and I will be interviewing Councillor Schreier, rest assured. There's now a warning sign. You know, our coverage of the botch on Goulet, installation of bike lanes, and we were lied to. It's plain we were lied to. We were told City Council had to approve at the open house. City Council has to approve this, and they went in anyways. They were poorly designed, poorly installed. People make excuses for the weather. I don't care. They never should have gone in. There's no consultation with the businesses in the area whatsoever. None with the residents. This is the kind of thing we stick up for St. Boniface. Matt Allard sticks up for the trees in St. Boniface. Maybe one day he'll make his way. He'll move towards standing up for the people of St. Boniface. But Councillor Mays recognized there are problems. And it's not just the physical problem in the gridlock. It's the principle of bike lanes being crammed where they don't belong. Of people being shut out of the process to make sure that they get installed. Of excuse like, well, they're here now, and well, the trucks can't get through, and it clogs a truck route and a route on the way to the hospital. I'm sure Brian Mays is concerned the protection services, police, fire, paramedic, were not consulted and have any sign-off responsibilities for any of this road transit, active transportation infrastructure project changes. That's just the bike lane on Goulet and Marion. And again, Winnipeg media doesn't cover this. We did. Now there's a warning sign about how dangerous the Marion curve into down Yuval into Goulet. Yuval being the north-south little connector of like eight lanes across, basically, sort of. There's a warning sign that you could tip over because the lanes are at a slope, and the bike lane still isn't open. And guess what? The bike lanes, where else I see bike lanes that aren't open yet? Stradbrook, they aren't open either. Matt Allard was all for these projects. He's all for them. Doesn't defend it. Free Press never asks him to. He's worried about trees. Listen, I'm worried about trees too. Don't get me wrong. But he invented something out of nothing to get a headline. There's lots of headlines in St. Boniface. Matt Allard just doesn't want to go near them with a 10-foot pole. The consultants lied at that open house. They've kept secret the 99 parking spots are being stolen. The city had some sort of meeting in September with members of the biz finally, and a number of those individual members are not happy with the way they were talked to and treated at that meeting. Does Matt Allard care? I guess I'll have to ask him again sometime. 37 businesses had no idea about that plan. Matt Allard's good with that. And there's going to be more. You know, we alone reported about the plan for a bike lane on Sargent that was afoot, that was confirmed by the executive director of the West End Biz. But nobody wants to say anything. And here they are at the same time, City Council. You know, you got all these pressures on the budget about what we can and can't afford. Can we afford a living wage? Can we afford this kind of expenditure over that? And they're spending money on more bike lane studies. In this case, not a study, it's a survey. A survey so slanted, they leave off the option of when you use Notre Dame, I think it was Notre Dame, it was either Notre Dame or Carmel, when you use that street, how do you use it? And it goes walk, pedal, taxi, or shared transportation. It doesn't actually say drive. They're doing a survey about users of a major street with trying to decide, do we want to put a protected bike lane on the left or on the right? Is there any information provided about this will impact X parking lots? That no-frills got big trucks coming off the lot, on or off the lot. They don't give the public any context to how many properties will be affected. What might is the potential effect on property values? How many potential users are there that would benefit from it? Now, keep in mind, they're in the middle of looking at Sargent Avenue, but they also now have a survey in the field about Notre Dame and Cumberland. For those of you who aren't from Winnipeg, I'll explain. The way it works in terms of a north-south or an east-west grid, it goes like Notre Dame, Cumberland is sort of a twin that comes off it. Next street up, Sargent. Why are they talking about bike lanes on three consecutive streets at the same time? Is that a good use of your tax dollar, or is that a waste of money? They're also looking at bike lane concepts for St. Mary Avenue and York Avenue. Want more gridlock downtown? Of course they do. Takeaway parking downtown? Of course they do. Are they following the lessons from the audit into the botch of the bike lane on Assiniboine? Of course not. Still not. Oh, that's going to keep coming up this year. So there's an online survey, leaves out whether you'd use your car to use those streets, gives a paucity of information, acts like it's a fait accompli, blah, blah, blah. Let's just take up some space. Let's make it harder to turn. Where is the snow going to go in the winter? They don't care because none of them live with the consequence of this. And for councillors like Matt Allard, it secures the votes of the bike lobbyists. The anti-capitalists, the far left, the eco-warriors, the people who probably hang off of every tweet of Josh Reimers. We have a slightly different opinion about deceiving people through fake public consultations, biased and slanted surveys. You know, a major element of the deception is, oh, this is all for safety. So guess what? I'm going to start a safety initiative. Every public official I talk to, every city council I talk to, including Matt Allard, I'm going to ask them if they're going to support the return, the restoration of Elmer the safety elephant to classrooms in our city and to community centers. A character who can teach kids all the way through teenagers, Elmer was entertaining, how to watch out for traffic, how to navigate traffic, how to wait your turn for traffic. Maybe get a few of these people, their faces out from being buried from their cell phones. I'm sure Manillard will support that. How do you say Elmer the safety elephant in French? I guess the signs in St. Boniface might want them to be different. But you know what? It could be worse. Manillard hasn't put anything on... He had nothing on his Twitter. Had put up like two or three tweets maybe in January. He did nothing on Facebook. Matter of fact, I think Twitter, he erased everything between 2020 and like this January. From October of 2020, I think. And maybe there was a glitch or something. And his Facebook, just... It's like he's a different guy. He used to be all over the place. Now he's a hermit. Almost no selfies of him. But we could, in terms of being a resident of St. Boniface, we could have it worse. Can you, for all I know, there's a counselor who doesn't communicate with the residents ever at all about anything. Doesn't even try to get fake headlines. Eh, you got Manillard. It could be worse. Back to wrap up this episode, right after these words.
Continuing the tradition of investigative journalism in Winnipeg.
And one Winnipeg woman is reported satisfactory in hospital after lightning struck her home.
Let's get right down to business.
Actionline.ca.
All set to entertain, to inform, to serve Winnipeg.
With the Great Canadian Talk Show.
Whether it's CTV, CBC, Global, you cannot count on them for truth, and you cannot count on them to uphold the values that you have.
He's the guy who put the M in Nemo and C in controversy.
With the one and only...
Red Alex.
Manny Bazunas.
Wrong! Cliff Gardner.
That's not it, that's not it.
Hunky Bill.
Boyd Kozak.
That's not right!
Marty Gold.
They go long walk, off a short pier.
Back to wrap up this episode. Sometime soon I will do another update on anti-Semitism. No one else covers this. No one else talks about it. I want to talk about it for a reason today. And it just for a couple of minutes to impart some information I think that is important for people to know. Why would the mainstream... let me try it again. Have you heard anything in the mainstream media about protests in Gaza today? This week? Probably not. Why won't they tell you about the protests in Gaza? Well, Hen Mazig, who I know from another picture, my time as editor of an online Jewish newspaper. Hen Mazig tweeted something very helpful today, X'd. Palestinians in Gaza demand the release of the Israeli hostages. Why doesn't the mainstream media report this? IDF spokesperson report that the Palestinian protest near a hospital in Deir al-Bala in central Gaza saw men, women, and children expressing their anger at the situation Hamas and especially Sinwar have caused in Gaza. I guess it's a quote, we demand you return the kidnapped Israelis to their homes so that the war will stop and they can return home. Hen Mazig pointing out Israelis want this war to end, Palestinians want this war to end, the only ones who want it to continue are the monsters who profit from it, Hamas. Which, by the way, means Iran. And there's only 700 Iranian agents running around in this country. Justin Trudeau's ignoring. Maybe he's not actually ignoring them, for all I know. There's a picture from this rally of a sign. The sign is a demand for the release of the hostages. And there's a translation of their chants. And it's not from the river to the sea. It's not about the Nakba. It's not about death to America, death to Zionists. It's not Intifada. It's we want to go back to Beit Hanun. We want to go back to Beit Laya. We want to go back to, and he couldn't translate it. We want to go back to Al-Jabalaya. Let us go. The Gazans are now the Israelites under the yoke of Pharaoh. The mainstream media won't tell you that. I will. I'll make sure you know. I'll make sure you know what's going on and how this is reflected back in the Winnipeg media and the Winnipeg community, with whether it's protest marches, whether it's acts of anti-Semitism, whether it's what was going on the campuses. And I will be reading the correspondence sent to parliamentarians by, I'm assuming, University of Winnipeg and University of Manitoba responded. I think it was 35 universities responded to 7 members of parliament asking about how they were dealing with anti-Semitism. I will be reviewing that correspondence. I have not had even close to a chance to take a look at it yet. I'm going to stay on the case, on that case. I'm going to keep an eye on City Hall. We have got plans to do a month-end review of the Manitoba legislature, of Wab Kanu and some of his cabinet ministers, so stay tuned for that. Math is Hard for Lefties, also coming up, special feature edition in the next week to 10 days. And I'm hoping to do another sports episode sometime soon just to make sure that I can have some fun. We're going to start a new fundraising campaign starting next week. It's going to be a bigger target than before because it's time to go big or go home. It's time to make sure that this work can be done on a consistent basis and can be done to maximize the benefits to you, to the community at large, to your business, to your family, to your kids, to your grandkids, to your church, to your synagogue, to your community at large, to your enterprise, to your entrepreneurship, to your love of what Canada is and is supposed to be. So there's going to be a redesign on the donate page. Going to be putting up links to some of the newer and older episodes. Going to mix it up in terms of what content is there you can check out. Because I earn your support. I provide information and analysis and investigations nobody else even tries to. When you do things like that, you find out things. You find out things. You can get things to change. You can get things to be better. You can hold politicians and bureaucrats accountable. And you can make the community a better place. A place where you have pride in City Hall and pride in the legislature and pride in your members of parliament, for that matter. And so your support, welcome now in the pre-fundraising season. By all means, you can do so through PayPal. Go to the donate page. Or through Interact, as described before. And new commercial sponsor coming on board, and there's room for more of you. So please get a hold of me, martygoldlive@gmail.com, and let's get you set up to let everybody know you not only support the program, but that you have great good services or other things to offer the community at large. In the meantime and in between time, that's it for Episode 8. When we come back next time, we're going to do so because we're going to let everyone know yet again, you have the power.
Because of you, the Great Canadian Talk Show has made headlines for over 15 years and forced important issues to be acknowledged and dealt with.
The problem here is that they want everything their own way in every situation. It's unpalatable to the general public, but they're frozen out by the process.
There are no subsidies for paying the bills for keeping the government honest.
They just see money. Of course, it's your tax dollars, but it's being spent on their pet projects.
We're on your side.
A lot of these people in special interest groups, they don't bear any relationship to your life out there. They don't have any handle on what your reality is in your neighborhood.
Support old-fashioned investigative reporting that matters.
The best source of information is not the city councilor. It is this program and you listeners.
Support TGCTS today.
Thanks for listening to The Great Canadian Talk Show. If you want to email Marty, send it to tgcts1@gmail.com or follow him on Twitter @tgcts.